1 Chronicles 12:32. I want to continue, not exactly on the same line, but we want to end up in the same line, as speaking about the prophetic, God's prophetic will for our lives. And so 1 Chronicles 12:32, I don't know if you've ever read this. I'm sure Philip knows the scripture. He just quoted to me, Philip. You'll just quote it. Yeah, okay. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. This is the part. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Here were guys walking in the prophetic edge that God has given them, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. It was harder for them than what it is for us now. And so this morning, this afternoon, speak about sons of Issachar. That's what God wants us to be. Those that can read the signs. Guys, do you watch the signs? That's the first thing. I know lots of people say, oh, I don't like to watch the news. It's not nice to watch the news. We need to be aware of what God is doing. You know, some people, they just walk through life and you ask them, have you heard about this? Oh, no, I don't watch the news. No, man, you need to be aware so you can be praying, you can be seeing the signs of what God is wanting to do, what he's wanting us to do. We can't just walk through life unaware of what is going on around us. We need to be aware of what God is doing. So Acts 2 and verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles. Have you ever read that before? Did you think just Peter stood up on his own? No. Peter stood up with the other 11 and shouted to the crowd. So they all participated. This was a team event. It wasn't Peter's event. And that's how God always intends it for us. That it's a team event, not our own thing, doing what we want to. Listen carefully, all of you. Follow the Jews and the residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. Those people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. You see, if you're unaware, you don't know that. You don't know that the prophet Joel has said that stuff. So for me, these guys are looking at people drunk, falling down, looking like they're drunk. And so what are they doing? They are making observation, and they're not making revelation. Observation is what we can see with our eyes, our natural eyes. Revelation is what we see with our spiritual eyes. And so we need to be those people. We don't, prophecy works like that. You can't look at a person and say, okay, Johan needs some hair growth stuff on his head, so I'm gonna pray for. No, I can see that with my natural eye. When God gives you prophecy, it's not about what you can see. It's about what he's seeing through you, and he's dropping it in your spirit for you to work out of that place. Cheryl. Cheryl came up to me during worship, and I said, just hold that until we start ministering.
So while we were worshiping the song Make Room, like I felt the Lord just take me to a place, and I felt the song, the song made me feel like there are people in this room that have been treating God like a guest rather than a family member. I just felt as though we were singing the chorus, your way is better. He wants to teach us his way is better.
Yeah. Johan really picked good songs for what I was speaking on today. It's great, Johan. You, You were in the spirit. So it carries on. It says, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon some people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Okay, who sees visions? Those are the young men. Who dreams? You're old. If you dream, you're old. So, but if you look at that, I'll pour out my spirits upon all people, sons, daughters, young men, old men, servants, men and women alike. Who's that? That's all of us that are here. Is that right? Is there anyone who doesn't fit into that? Put your hand up. We're going to pray for you. This covers every single one of us. Guys, I want to say to you this afternoon, when last did you bring a prophetic word? When last did you get up and, you know what, when you bring prophetic words, especially when you first start, you like, everything's going on inside of you, and when you've done it for a while, it gets a bit better, but it's never without anxiety of a sort. And so we need to just get up and go. You know, you got to trust the elders. If you come to them and you give them a word and they think it's not for now, they just won't let you share it. That's why we are here. We're not here to control you and manipulate you. We're here to help you and stop you from making mistakes as far as we can. We make mistakes too, just once or twice. So the first thing we saw there was team. Peter and the 11 got up. Then we saw revelation, not observation. They weren't drunk like we could see with our natural eye. They were full of the Holy Spirit. We see, and now we see what was predicted. Guys, when you want to be used by God in the prophetic word, when you want to bring prophecy, you need to spend time in God's word. Because it says, what was predicted? It was predicted by Joel many years before that, before this happened. And so guys could read in the last days, this was predicted. Don't, where possible, don't come for me. If I get a prophetic word and it doesn't line up with scripture, I will not share it. And if you have any, if you hesitate because you're afraid, hey, this, I haven't read this in the Bible before, rather keep it to yourself and go and check it out, because you can bring it next week, but you bring it knowing that this is the word of God. It's not some too much pizza the night before. All of us. And you know what? As we step out with prophetic words, I really believe that we'll see people get saved. That's what the word says. If the word says it, it must happen. It must happen. Acts 2 and verse 38, it said, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins. So when you get born again and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, baptized, you will receive. You don't have to do anything. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. He's a gift from God. Have any of you ever paid for a gift you received? But really, some people, they get so concerned about how do I get the Holy Spirit? You just receive him after you're saved and baptized. I remember in the old days, listen, I've been saved over 40 years now. I think now in April it's 41 years. And in those, I say the old days because that is old days. Hey, I don't like to think of myself as old, but I've just turned 63, so I am getting old. When they used to pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you want to come here, baby? I'll show them how they prayed for us. They would grab you by the head, guys. Andre and Linda will know this. They grab you by the head and they, in the name of Jesus. It was terrible because no one got baptized. They were too busy shaking around. That's not how God works, man. God is spirit. He's not physical. He comes in spirit. And the thing, they don't read their Bible because the Bible says that Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, not someone with their hands on your head shaking you around. I'd hate to try and shake you around. I'd have to get Vaughn to pray for you. And then people think, you know, once I'm baptized by the Holy Spirit, that's it. No. So the same disciples, Acts 13:52, and the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when I speak to some of you guys, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because there's not a lot of joy, or you need to tell your face. No, for me, this stuff is like, you got to shock people because they just like, they're just filled with the Holy Spirit and joy. I'm not talking about laughing. Joy is the strength. It says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. But people are supposed to be filled with joy, but they're flopping around. People walk by feelings and not by faith. We need to be those that walk according to the Word of God, not how we would like to and how we feel. So many people these days, they go to the psychologist for whatever reason. And there are good psychologists and there are bad psychologists. But there are guys that go to psychologists, and what do? They just want to make you feel better. So anything to make you feel better. I had a friend who was my elder, and he was a psychologist in Nelspruit before I went up to Benoni. And he said to me, "Roland, I'm having some serious doubts about the psychology thing." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you know, I've got to try and keep an unmarried couple together." That's what you go to a psychologist and you're fighting with your partner, and he tries to keep you together. That's not biblical. And then a married couple goes, and they're fighting, and they're unhappy, and he says to them, "Oh, just get divorced to make you feel better." Guys, Acts 4:19 and verse 4, Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later," meaning Jesus. "As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them." He didn't shake them. The Holy Spirit came on them. "And they spoke in other tongues and prophesied." And I saw this the other day. There were about 12 men in all. So can you imagine? They're all praying and whatnot. And next minute, the Holy Spirit's there. 12 guys are looking like they're drunk from Acts. And the Holy Spirit says, not just one on one, it's like one on 12. Paul's praying, and the next minute they're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this is carrying on, refilling. People are, you need to, on a regular basis, be refilling, allowing the Holy Spirit just to come and minister to you. If you're not doing that, you're going to struggle in your walk with the Lord. You really are, in your own strength and your own ability. You know what? You can do it for a while, but then you can't do it anymore. And all fall down. I know, I've had that in my life. I've had to fight in this walk with the Lord. It was many years before I started leading a church. about 10 years before I started leading a church. And there was lots of falling down. There was lots of marriage counseling. But fortunately, we allowed godly people to speak into our life, not people who would say, okay, just do whatever it takes to feel better. Let's pray. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come on you. Okay, so where I'm going this afternoon. On Wednesday night, we spoke about the prophetic and what God and how he works in the prophetic. So 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Lord gives. It's in the NIV. That's why I'm reading all wrong stuff here. If you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. Guys, I want to encourage you, your prayer language of tongues. How much time do you spend praying in tongues? You need to get that discipline in your life where you say, I will pray in tongues. And you know what? You're not going to just do it. Yes, I do it when I put the CD on. Oh, sorry, you don't have CDs anymore. Bluetooth. And you're driving along and the worship music's on, then like praying in tongues, worshiping in tongues. But that's for like 10 minutes maximum. So I told you guys on Wednesday night, find a way. Like if you're going to do exercise bicycle for half an hour, when you start, pray in tongues. And just keep praying in tongues while you cycle. When you get to the end of that, you know that you've prayed in tongues for half an hour. How many people can say, I have prayed in tongues for half an hour today? I want to tell you, when you do it, you will be energized. Your faith levels, from Jude 20, it says your faith will be built up. Your faith will be built up. Then those feelings won't be ruling you. Your faith will be leading you. And that's what we need. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A man who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, just himself. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So sometimes there's prophecy for the whole church, like Shirley brought just now. And I'm trusting that now we're gonna give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come and speak to some people. So I believe there's a fourfold restoration taking place in the church. Purification. We need to purify ourselves, guys. We need to nail down those foolish little things that cause us to stumble all the time. Power of God, purification, power. When we are purified, God will begin to move in power through us. Don't you want that? I want the power of God to move through my life. I've seen him move in some people's lives when I've prayed, but by far not enough. I need to see that happen. And not for me, for the people. The gift is for others, not for you. Participation. My heart is that the church, the priesthood, participate in everything that we do. We don't have the paid members and then the spectators. Or the spectators and the participators.